April 20th, 2020 was the 10-year anniversary of the explosion of the Deepwater Horizon oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico. I had left my dream job at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology just 2 weeks before. I wanted to hunker down at home for a while. But the oil spill was so huge, with accurate information about its impact on birds so scarce, that Russ and I decided it would be worth it for me to drive down to Louisiana and Alabama for a few weeks in July and August to get a closer look. Going down there and seeing firsthand what was going on was and remains the single most disillusioning experience of my entire life. As I set out on my drive on July 24th, even as the news was filled with the continuing gushing oil, the official stance was that the Corexit dispersant BP was spewing all over the Gulf was taking care of most of the oil, and the hot temperatures in the Gulf were making the rest evaporate. This was clearly and obviously magical thinking, like imagining the oil was being raptured up for all eternity. The well wasn't sealed until September 19th, 5 months after the original explosion, with 134 to 210 million gallons of oil released into the Gulf. The official total of oiled birds was amazingly low. It still stands at an unbelievable 63,000 to 100,000 birds, even as virtually every knowledgeable scientist says it was really one or even two orders of magnitude greater than that. Simple common sense said the numbers should be way, way bigger from an oil spill of that magnitude in that unique location. On top of my own misgivings, the American Birding Association's Drew Whelan was finding evidence that dead birds were being disposed of without being counted, and that many badly oiled but still living birds were left out of the count, too. Even though Drew was way more credible than the people saying the oil wasn't a problem, I wanted to see for myself. 10 years later, we know as fact that this spill, by far the largest marine oil spill in the history of the petroleum industry, the equivalent of 12 Exxon Valdez spills, was an environmental disaster exactly as bad as Drew Whelan had said. The autumn 2020 issue of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology's magazine, Living Bird, has an in-depth report about the disaster titled 10 Years Later. When the explosion happened, and as oil started reaching bird-nesting islands along the coastline, biologists, photographers, and videographers from Audubon, the Cornell Lab, American Bird Conservancy, and National Geographic were already on the scene, right there on the ground, some specifically studying and documenting nesting colonies that became doomed. They took a lot of photos and videos both before and after oil reached them, producing horrifying confirmation of how devastating the oil was for nestling and parent birds. But BP and the U.S. government insisted on a 5-year moratorium on the publication of any studies or videos or photos regarding the impacts on wildlife. They obviously couldn't silence the news media, Drew Whelan, nor unaffiliated individuals like me, but they could exert plenty of pressure on organizations that depend on cooperative agreements and grants from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and other federal agencies to do their essential work. BP significantly benefited from keeping the American people and politicians in the dark about the horror. Next time I'll talk about how BP managed to limit the number of oiled animals they'd be liable for by leaving them to suffer and die. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.